This is Shambhala Sun editor of web publications Rod Mead Sperry, and you're listening to Shambhala Sun Audio. Women, gender politics, and Buddhism. Perhaps no one has looked into their intersection so intimately as teacher, writer, scholar, and practitioner Dr. Rita M. Gross. She's been doing her intimate looking for more than 40 years, and as Joan Sutherland writes in Free from the Prison of Gender Roles in our current issue, Gross has developed a keen eye for how certain meditative investigations are powerfully deconstructive about the self, and how helpful it would be to turn that deconstructive light on ideas about gender. And that's just what we'd like to do. So we've asked Rita to moderate an online discussion wherein you can raise your questions related to the subject to her, and she'll respond. In the following conversation, she sets the tone for the discussion, shares her Buddhist background, and hints at what's next. Thank you, Rita, for joining me on the phone and for taking time out to help create a discussion about Buddhism, women, and gender roles here on Shambhala Sunspace.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Now, in our May 2009 issue, there's a piece called Free from the Prison of Gender Roles, in which Joan Sutherland reviews the new anthology of your writings, A Garland of Feminist Reflections, 40 Years of Religious Exploration. Sutherland argues that over time, your focus has shifted from feminism as academic method to feminism as social vision. This, she says, is because of your own experience of Buddhism. Can you speak a little bit about your experience of Buddhism and how your mission, as it were, may have shifted?
Well, my experience with Buddhism is full of surprises. I did not start out intending to work on Buddhism or become a Buddhist. Somebody had told me that's what would happen to me when I was 20. I probably would have said, well, I don't think so. But by the time I was 30, life experiences had caught up with me enough that I could appreciate the four truths of Buddhism and realize that, in fact, they're true, which is a story I narrate in the book. But I also knew enough about Buddhism as a scholar to know that Buddhism had a lot of issues with gender. There was a lot of patriarchy and sexism in the tradition. And I was a feminist. By then, I had been a feminist really all my life, I think. So I knew I was going to have a lot of work to do on reconciling Buddhism and feminism. And I've spent a lot of my professional life, my life as a Buddhist practitioner and teacher, doing that. I feel that work is, on my end anyway, just about concluded now. And I'm really working on other projects with my creative energy. I'm really interested right now in bringing accurate Buddhist history to Buddhist practitioners.
In what form do you mean, accurate?
Well, I had a column or a commentary in the last issue of Buddha Dharma in which I talked about this project. And I've been teaching Buddhist history for Buddhist practitioners at the Lotus Garden Shedra for the past 2 years. I'll be teaching again this year. I find that many Buddhists know very little about Buddhism, and they have really no idea about the difference between legend or family lore and accurate history. And I think Mahayana Buddhists in particular have a lot of issues with this, because historically speaking, Mahayana is a later development, but many Mahayanists have to somehow try to say the historical Buddha taught the specifically Mahayana teachings, which doesn't seem to be the case at all.
Well, that'll be interesting to see what else you do with that. Now, getting back to the idea of gender, you said, as I understand it, that too often Buddhists don't apply the Dharma's tools to quote-unquote deconstruct and dismantle attachment to gender roles, and therefore we can miss how those roles cause suffering. What could we be doing to make the most of these tools?
Well, I think for teachers, the most important thing is not to dismiss students who are in the process of discovering Buddhism and also discovering some of the negative aspects of Buddhism's past, not discouraging those students by somehow telling them, oh, you shouldn't bother about that, or that's not really an issue, or if you practiced more, you wouldn't care about those things. Mm. I can't tell you how often I've heard teachers tell newer students just to practice more, and then you won't care about things like sexism or the environment. Mm. Now, they never say it that baldly, of course, but it's the same thing. Now, on the other hand, as a Dharma teacher, I would also agree that anger and a lot of emotionalism are not good tools. They're not really states of mind that are conducive to Dharma. But I think the answer I have come up with is something like, well, that's definitely true, that there are a lot of issues about gender and gender injustice in Buddhism's past, in the Buddhist text. But don't let that spoil your practice. Keep on practicing. Keep on exploring. It doesn't have to be something that makes Buddhist practice unworkable for you. There are lots of resources in the tradition that are good tools for deconstructing gender roles as well. But the other thing that people often do is say, well, I'm beyond that. I don't pay any attention to gender. They claim to be transcending gender, but they're actually ignoring it. I've discovered that it's very easy to confuse actually being beyond an issue and just ignoring it. To transcend something, you have to actually explore it deeply. You can't just shove it in a corner and say, that's unpleasant, I don't want to look at that. Now, we know that from Dharma, but for some reason, there's so much reluctance to apply a lot of Dharma to gender issues. I think that's because the place where people really store their ego is in their gender identity. It's very easy to believe in egolessness, but then when the rubber meets the road, not to give it up very well. So I think there should be a Mahamudra investigation which says, does the mind have a gender? Now, we all know it doesn't, but in Mahamudra, we need to actually explore every possible corner and wrinkle to see where we really do come down on things. So that's a somewhat long answer, but it's a complex question, and it's a very important question. I mean, women are sexist, too. It isn't just, this isn't something that's all, you know, bad men, good women. I gave up that trip a long time ago. That one has been very convincing to me.
Getting back to the idea of the rubber meeting the road, obviously the thing that we want to do here is we want to encourage people to take this opportunity to ask questions of you about Buddhism, women, and gender roles. And I wonder what kind of questions you might be anticipating from our readers, and if you'd like to propose any discussion points for them to consider.
Often people want to know more. They think that Buddhism has been more negative to women than it actually has. They also want to know what specifically are the teachings in Buddhism that don't support any kind of attachment to gender roles. And I often give an hour-long talk on how the basic teachings of each of the periods of Buddhist intellectual thought just don't support relying on gender roles or attachment to gender roles. In a certain sense, I think it's important to feel that it's a safe place and that there's no question that you should have figured out a long time ago, or no question that's too stupid to ask.
That was Dr. Rita M. Gross joining me to talk about women, gender, and Buddhism, and her online Q&A on Shambhala Sunspace about them, which you can participate in by leaving a comment for Rita beginning May 12th. You'll find Free from the Prison of Gender Roles, Joan Sutherland's review of A Garland of Feminist Reflections, the new anthology of Dr. Gross's work, in our May 2009 issue. And for lots more on the topic, visit our special Women and Gender Politics in Buddhism page on ShambhalaSun.com. This is Rod Mead Sperry, and thanks for listening to Shambhala Sun Audio.